Friends, we come once again to the study of this wonderful portion of the scriptures. It is a song of degrees. And it is part of that section of the songs or the psalms of ascent or degrees, where most likely they were sung by the people of Israel as they walked the roads up to Jerusalem to attend the three annual feasts and annual pilgrim festivals. We call it the pilgrim's psalm. And it begins with those words that we considered last time. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And then there is this answer, and we said that it could be referred to in a question form, where the psalmist is asking, from where does my help come? And the answer is given in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Creator is not aloof, someone who is distant from us, someone who is not caring of us, but He's a companion who is always with us, always awake to our circumstances. And that's what you read in verses 3 to 7. And he goes on to talk about the guiding and guarding of our journey through life from this time forth and even forevermore, he says in verse 8. He's going to be there. And we looked at this the last time, and we saw that how the expression is used right at the beginning. He's made up his mind that he will, in whatever circumstance the psalmist is in, he will look up to the Lord. I was interested to read earlier today that the anatomists and the human, those who study human physiology, they tell us that there are 28 muscles in our neck and shoulders, specifically to move the head. Those who are nurses, maybe they will correct me in this, but out of those muscles moving our head, 12 lift up the head behind, and only 2, they bring our heads down. So there are 12 out of those 20, they help us to lift our heads, but only 2 bring our heads down. And there is a spiritual lesson there. Even in the way God has created our necks, our heads, our muscles, and so on. It teaches us to think about, to contemplate heaven and the things of glory, where the Lord is. We ought to, humanly speaking, physically speaking, lift up our heads, lift up our eyes, heavenward. And we should less think of the things below, looking down. Now this verse 2 of this psalm, the Lord is saying that I am your help. You have the Lord as your help. And you apply these things to your own case, to your own situation, your personal life, your help physically, your help emotionally, your help spiritually. Where does it come from? From whom does it come from? Is it from this world? No. It is from the one who is in heaven. That's why we need to lift up our eyes to him. You need help in your workplace. You need help in your home. You need help in your family situation. You need help in your relationship. You need help in raising up your children. You need help in all kinds of circumstances with your colleagues and in our society. We need help. Where does it come from? You apply these words to your own situation. We need help in prayer. Where does that come from? It's the Lord. That's what we want to think about this evening. Just in a devotional manner, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And one of the things, the first thing we want to think about is that we are to trust in God's help. Trust in God's help. My help cometh from the Lord. And that word, the Lord, is the term Jehovah. It's his special title, the covenant-keeping Jehovah. And here is the psalmist's confession. He's making this confession that reflects his faith. The psalmist's faith is seen here. His trust that God is his helper. The Lord is his helper. And you pause there and you think to yourself, you ask yourself, have you made this confession? Do you make this confession daily? Not to other people, because we can say it easily to other people. I trust in the Lord. But to yourself, to your own soul, do you speak like this? Because then we are being honest. My help comes from the Lord. Did you make this confession recently to yourself? So the helper is none other than Jehovah, the great I Am, the unchanging, eternal, self-existing, living God, the I Am that I Am. The covenant-keeping God. And it's a wonderful term, Jehovah. And the meaning of the name Jehovah that is used here, and it's in our authorized Bible version, it is always the title of the Lord as Jehovah is put in capital letters, the Lord, to identify that. That's the divine name. That's the covenant name. But it's summarized as the present to act in salvation. This revelation of the name of the Lord, which the Jews took it very seriously. They wouldn't even pronounce the name Jehovah. But it was given to Moses, the I Am that I Am, which is recorded in Exodus 3:14. And then later on, the Lord says, I am the Lord in Exodus 6 and verse 2 And in all of the other verses, the Lord says, who is this I Am that I Am? The Lord, Jehovah. Let me read that passage to you in Exodus 6 and verse 2. We read, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. So he says, this is the name of the Lord, Jehovah, that I identify myself with. And it's the name that means to be present. I am that I am. And the psalmist here says, my help comes from that God who is Jehovah. In the New Testament, terms, one just as ready to help. And we could say this, my help cometh from Jesus Christ. Because he proclaims himself to be identical. And he takes the name of Jehovah as the I Am to himself. And so in the scriptures of the New Testament, Jehovah equals Jesus Christ, the Lord. And then he said to the Jews in John chapter 8 and verse 58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The people said he's blaspheming. He's taking the name of the Lord to himself. He's making himself equal with God, they said. But Christ is that I am. And there at least seven times he says, those I Ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the vine. Friends, if you stop for just a moment, you meditate on all of those terms, those great I Ams that the Lord Jesus Christ states, And you assess in your heart, you think in your heart, how each of those descriptions that the Lord uses and they're his titles, how they give us different aspects of his multifaceted help. And here the psalmist says, my help. All of these helps, all of these angles from which I need help. I need light. I need bread. I need to be engrafted into the Lord. I need to have that entrance before the Lord. My help, all of these helps comes from the Lord. And if you look so accurately shown here in our authorized version, that the word cometh, it is a supplied word here. It's not in the Hebrew, but it is needed for us to make sense. But the Hebrew says, my help from the Lord. My help, Jehovah, we could say. My help, the Jehovah. That's the proper perspective, you see, the psalmist has. My help, who is my help? Jehovah is my help. And my help comes from Jehovah. Help from God? Not from other people, although God can and does use other people often. He uses us. But my help comes not from man. Essentially, it comes from the Lord. And I don't know what you're going through, what kind of help you need. But you need God, and you need his help. That's why we gather like this, because we are saying in any prayer meeting, God is our help. My help comes from the Lord. And it's interesting that even in various places you look to and you go to places and you see many books and you see even in some Christian bookstores, or you see it on web stores online, there are much of self-help books out there, and they are very popular. But the psalmist says this. The psalmist presents the opposite to it. Not the self-help. Not self-help, but Savior help. God help, divine help. That's what we need. So forget about your books on how other people have made themselves better, and we can learn from much about people's experiences. But ultimately, what do I need? I can look at the examples of other people's lives and other believers and other Christian servants of the Lord. But ultimately, I can read enough of those things, but ultimately, my help comes from the Lord. Your help comes from the Lord. And here is a test question. Where or to whom do you go first when faced with an obstacle? First thing in your mind, when you are facing some kind of a difficult trial, some news comes and you feel shaken in your soul, you feel that everything becomes black in your view and you can't think straight, you don't know what to say. Where do you go first? Those sudden difficulties, sudden adversities. Do you run to the rock of your salvation? Do you run to the Savior? Do you see him as your help? Are you in distress even as you think about these things? I don't know what's going on in your heart of hearts, but the Lord knows. To whom have you taken those things? Oh, this tongue of ours. It works so hard, but oftentimes it is working hard to speak to somebody else. We talk to one another so much, and there is nothing wrong with that. But oh, to speak more with the Lord. Have you cast your burdens on Jehovah? What burdens have you? He knows it. Who will lift them? Not you, not me, but the Lord. And so, in Psalm 55 and verse 22, you know those words already. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And that's so important. He. And then says, shall, not may sustain thee, but shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you believe that? I'm not saying, do you agree with it, but do you believe it? But not only believe it, but do you trust it? There is a difference in all of those things, not just agreeing with something and saying, well, that's, I agree with that. But believing it in our hearts, and then when it comes to it, with our casting our burdens upon him, to actually trust him that he has taken those things. So he says here this. He begins with these words, my help. And that's important. My help. What's that saying? That's implying personal possession. It's saying, I have this. I have what I'm talking about. I have my help. This help that I will have. And in turn, it suggests that he had formerly, previously experienced help from Jehovah. He's already saying, this thing, I've had it before. My help is from the Lord, comes from the Lord. And I would think that every believer has had some experience with the help from Jehovah. You've had this. Hasn't the Lord helped you before? And to be sure, even our very introduction into this grace, this salvation in which we now stand, was totally dependent on his help. And the problem with our past experiences of his help is that they are in the past. And we have a tendency to be forgetful. We forget things. We remember the negatives. Oh, we don't forget the negatives. We remember the problems. We remember the hurts. We remember the offenses. But we forget the blessings. We forget God answered my prayer. And isn't it the case, if you don't actually write down the things that we are praying about, I forget altogether. And then it is years later, something happens and somebody says something, and then it triggers in my mind, yes, God did answer that prayer. I've forgotten altogether. I've even forgot that I prayed about that matter. But that's our problem. We are so forgetful. Especially in the pressures of the moment of a trial, in the moment of a test, we are forgetful. And so instead of remembering the Lord, we run into the hands of men. We run in and seek to fix those things, seek to help ourselves. That's why it's called self-help. But continually, the Lord called Israel to remember. Remember what he had done. Not what they had done, but what he had done. So you have the scriptures filled with it, and the psalmist again and again speaks about remembering the works of the Lord. Not the works of Israel, but the works of the Lord. So you have words in Deuteronomy 7, in Nehemiah, in the Psalms. Just let me quote you a couple. In Psalm 77, David says this in verses 11 and 12, I will remember the works of the Lord. Again, he's made up his mind to remember God's works. And it's again, Jehovah, surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for us to often talk about the dealings of the Lord with us? It would be a shameful thing. We would be ashamed to talk about our dealings with the Lord because they are so weak and they've been so faithless. But his dealings with us, we can talk about them without shame. We can boast in the things of God, but not in our responses to him. We can't boast in that because in comparison, they are nothing. And in contrast to human meeting human needs, the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord. So why turn to anything else? If you are a creature, if God has made you, your only possible help, the psalmist is saying, is from your Creator. Seek your blessing only within God's will. He will supply your needs. Do you really believe that, friends? And whatever you're thinking, and I know you've come from various circumstances, in work situation, in family situation, and you've come to receive some help, but this help comes from the Lord. And He will supply that. Believe Him. Trust Him. Ask yourself, what help do you give to others? What help can you really give to others? I had to listen today to someone who was so cast down about things. But I couldn't help them. I didn't know the answers to their problems. But I could point them to the Savior. I could point them to the Lord and say, the Lord knows. The Lord knows your need. The Lord knows the answer to this situation. In difficult relationships, in tough situations, do you tell your friends that what they are, and do you direct them to the Lord in those times of trials? You hear them, but instead of letting them depend on you, point them to the Savior, to depend on Him. Non-believers, oftentimes, they're seeking to fix their own lives as well, to get themselves right with God. If they don't turn to the Lord for help, what do they turn to? So you see people turning to this and that and the other, and they end up in the same place again. Isn't this the reason why many are discontent? They don't seek their help from the Lord. And if you don't seek your help from the Lord, that's where the bitterness comes in. That's where the problems comes in. If you're relying on anything or anyone other than the Lord, then you will become bitter because they can't help you ultimately. And for you to help someone, you need help from the Lord too. You might be trying to seek to help somebody in your life. I trust we seek to help each other. But that help as well must come from the Lord. So that is one thing. The second thing is this. It refers to the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. And so the psalmist is saying, secondly, the Helper is the Creator of all things. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And this person who has made heaven and earth is saying that his power is without any kind of boundaries. His powers are unbounded. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. What can we make? We can't even make a small thing. We can't make an atom. And yet God has made the heavens and the earth. So the Creator of all these things can help us. He can succor us. He can comfort us. He can defend all if He has made heaven and earth. And my friends, there are great forces around us, great forces in this world, the great spiritual forces for us and against us. The Lord is for us. The Lord is for His people. Heaven is for His people. But there is the spiritual enemy too that is against us, that is marching against us, that is firing its arrows against you day by day. And it's this Maker of heaven and earth will defend you, will protect you. So it is the Lord who can restrain the hostile and evil things that are happening. The Lord is the one who can put away all kinds of famine and illnesses. And it is the Lord who can multiply the blessings. It is the Lord who can bring His salvation. It is the Lord who can revive His church. And it is the Lord who can send blessings from heaven. However complicated our hardships may be, and oftentimes hardships are very complicated, and we don't fully understand it ourselves. However, the path you are going through is so narrow and so difficult. Straight is the way, the scripture says. However piercing your grief might be, his power is all sufficient through Christ, who strengtheneth us, the scripture says. And with such a refuge that we have in the Lord, despair for the Christian would be madness, who made heaven and earth. He's saying he is able then. So if you think your problem is too complex, for the Lord, for Jehovah, remember this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question that was asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It would be blasphemy to say, no, the Lord cannot handle this. I have to deal with this. Even as he had all power needed to protect the psalmist himself, so too he is ready and he is able to protect all of his children. So this is our assurance, and this assurance is repeated in Psalm 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And you see, the name of the Lord means who God is, all that the Lord is. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So only the Creator can be the helper of his creation. And if he has accomplished the greater creation of everything, he will surely accomplish the lesser, being our help in our time of need. You know who the Lord is. We know the Lord not through pictures, but through his attributes, his character. We know him to be the omnipresent God, and so he's there everywhere to help us. He's omniscient. He knows how to help us. He knows the situation. He knows the problem. He's omnipotent, and he has power to help us. His power, exact power to our need. And all of that assures us that he has the ability to follow through on his promise to help us. So he who spoke the heavens into being is to be my helper, my help, my personal helper, because of grace, because of the blood of Christ. And this is an amazing thing, isn't it? And also it is a humbling thing that the maker of heaven and earth would think on me. So the next time, maybe tomorrow, maybe tonight, you don't know when. Next time the trial comes, you are in a tight spot. Think on this verse. Recall it to your mind. Speak it to your soul. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The Lord is beyond anything we think. He is the watcher of his children. Charles Wesley put it like this: will he not his help afford? Help, while yet I ask, is given. God comes down, the God and the Lord that made both heaven and earth and heaven. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So we could pray, oh Lord, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for thee. So Lord, help me. And Psalm 146 echoes this as well in verses 5-6. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which helpeth truth forever, or which keepeth truth forever. Again, similar language is used. What is it that the Lord can't do? Who has made both of those things, both heaven and earth? And besides, he's promised to help them, help us, and he is faithful to that promise. If we say the Lord will not help us, we are saying he will not keep his promise, that he's telling lies, and that would be blasphemy too. You see, he has laid his help upon his Christ. He's given all authority to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our help. And by his Spirit that Christ sends and the Father sends, he helps our infirmities. And he has set up a throne of grace that we can come to for help, to help us in our time of need. We have our past experiences, and we have the expectation of future help and salvation. Don't we sing, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." So friends, along life's path, how we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, on Jehovah, our source of help. And when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we are feeling discouraged, what should you do? Use those muscles in your neck. Look up. Look to the Lord. Call upon his name. So let us look to him. Let us look to our Father for help. Let us thank him for the joys, for the trials that we have in our lives now. Let us be grateful that we will never walk alone. There is help at hand at all times. There is no help outside except in the Lord. And we shouldn't expect it from anyone else but from the Lord. So, listen to these lessons then. Take it to heart. Yes, distress is never far from us. Distress is always near. But the Lord is near too. The divine refuge is open for all of his people. And we receive help, and it is timely help. The help is always there, in wherever you are. But do you know where you get this help? It begins in knowing the presence of God. And help you will find at the place of prayer. You find it in the place when you're seeking the Lord. And so he's praying this prayer. I will look up. I will lift up mine eyes. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. May God bless these things to our hearts, and may we both agree with it, believe it, and trust the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.